द ओरिजिन ऑफ सन्स एंड लवर्स. सन्स एंड लवर्स वॉज द फर्स्ट सिग्निफिकेंट नॉवल टू कम फ्रॉम द पेन ऑफ लॉरेंस. इट वॉज रिटन बिकॉज ऑफ एन इंटरनल कंपल्सन एंड इनर अर्ज ऑन द पार्ट ऑफ द राइटर टू कॉप विथ हिज अर्जेंट इनर प्रॉब्लम बाय एक्सटर्नलाइजिंग इट इन फिक्शन. इन फैक्ट वन माइट फॉलोइंग गोएथ से दैट ऑल लिटरेचर इज कैथार्टिक फॉर द रीडर एज वेल एज फॉर द राइटर. And that a writer can achieve inner integrity by resolving his personal problem in his works. In doing so, he has to relive the experience again and again, and he gets an opportunity to see the past more clearly and more acutely, to contemplate it objectively, and to find a meaning in it. Thus, in writing Sons and Lovers, Lawrence was trying to understand the experience of his life, early life, as also to release the pressure of the tension produced by those experiences. The unhappy married life of his parents had a psychologically disturbing effect on him. The brutal attitude of the father diverted the children's whole affection to their mother, who became the strongest power in their lives. She made all the efforts to keep her sons in her possession, with the result that they were incapacitated from achieving anything like adequate relationship with other women. The result naturally was the Lawrence was torn between his love for his mother, who could give only spiritual love, and his lady love, who could fulfill his passionate being. Lawrence could not resolve his emotional crisis while his mother was alive, but he made efforts to resolve it by projecting in fiction. Thus, he thought of writing Sons and Lovers. The first version of Sons and Lovers was titled Paul Morrell. In a letter to Garnett, Lawrence gave an analysis of the novel. A woman of character and refinement goes into the lower class and has no satisfaction in her own life. She has had a passion for her husband. So the children are born of passion and have heaps of fertility. But as her sons grow up, she selects them as lovers, first the eldest, then the second. These sons are urged into life by their reciprocal love of their mother, urged on and on. But when they come to manhood, they cannot love, because their mother is the strongest power in their lives and holds them. As soon as the young men came into contact with women, there is a split. William gives his sex to a free will and his mother holds his soul. But the split kills him because he does not know where he is. The next son gets a woman who fights for his soul, fights his mother. The son loves the mother. All the sons hate and are jealous of the father. The battle goes on between the mother and the girl, with the son as object. The mother gradually proves the stronger because of the tie of blood. The son decides to leave his soul in his mother's hands and, like his elder brother, go for passion. Then the split begins to tell again, but almost unconsciously the mother realizes what is the matter and begins to die. The son casts off his mistress, attends to his mother dying. He is left in the end naked of everything, with the drift towards death. Lawrence began writing the novel sometime in the year 1910 while he was still at Croydon. His solitary life at Croydon must have further deepened his inner crisis, and we can imagine him writing the novel in order to seek relief from the immediate pressure of the crisis by putting his experiences in an understandable pattern. His mother was then ill with cancer, and there was a little hope of her recovery. The novel was initially called Paul Morrell, after its hero. We hear about the novel for the first time in October 1910, when Lawrence informed his friend Sidney Pauling that he had finished the earlier parts of Paul Morrell and was negotiating with Hyman about its publication. The early version of Paul Morrell was, to use the words of Graham Hogg, a wistful fictionizing of an unpleasant truth. In it, Lawrence got rid of his father by making him accidentally kill Paul's brother and then dying immediately after serving his sentence in the jail. As evidence shows, by 1911, Lawrence had reworked the early manuscript. It was late in 1911 that Lawrence showed the manuscript to Jessie Chambers. She expressed her disapproval of the account of Paul Miriam's relationship and offered to help Lawrence in rewriting that part. She wrote out her recollection of her meeting with Lawrence on the farm, their walks through the woods, their literary sessions, and their agonizing efforts to achieve a satisfactory relationship. Also, she thought that Lawrence had sentimentalized the family life of the Morells. What had really happened was much more poignant and interesting than the situations he had invented. Her advice to Lawrence was to rewrite the whole story simply and honestly, keeping closer to the pattern of actuality. Accordingly, Lawrence rewrote the novel with the help of notes supplied by the Jessie Chambers, while relying a good deal on her collection in rewriting some of the chapters, particularly those dealings with the relationship of Paul and Miriam. Lawrence was careful enough to make its selection and to examine every detail regarding its suitability to fit in the total pattern of the novel as he planned it. A novel might be based on the personal experience of the writer, but all the same, it is a novel, not a direct transcript of life. What the writer tried to do is not to provide a catalogue of his observations and experiences. His aim is to communicate and integrate an ordered vision of life. And with this aim in view, he has of necessity to reshape and reorganize the whole experience in response to artistic exigencies. Surely, Lawrence was well within his rights in refusing to accept Jesse Chambers' account of the story and in interpreting the events in his own way. When the final version of Sons and Lovers was published in 1913, Jesse Chambers was shocked and dismayed. She did not like the sympathetic portrayal of Mrs. Morell and thought that Mrs. Morell had been glorified at the cost of Miriam. She complained that Lawrence had done injustice to Miriam and could never reconcile herself with the account of Paul Miriam's relationship as given in the novel. She felt Lawrence had falsified the essential nature of their youthful relationship, distorting deliberately an innocent tenderness by attributing sexual self-consciousness to Miriam, and that the novel did not portray faithfully the nature and quality of her disparate search for a right relationship. What Jesse Chambers forgot was that Sons and Lovers was not a biography of Lawrence, but an imaginative construction of an experience. The final version of the novel was written in 1912 when Lawrence had left England with Frieda and spent his time in Germany, Austria and Italy. Frieda was claimed as share in the writing of the novel. When Lawrence was revising it, she lived and suffered that book and wrote bits of it. She helped Lawrence present the mother's point of view in certain situations. The intensity that went into the writing of the final version must have made its writing a painful experience for Lawrence. Frieda remembered that in writing the chapter that deals with the death of his mother, Lawrence almost fell ill. In the words of Harry T. Moore, the writing of the final version of Sons and Lovers was an agony, tearing him apart as he wrote more intentionally than ever before of his own past.